The New Testament reading this morning is from Ephesians, the first chapter, verses 15 to 23. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that, with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
I am one of those people. I do not start the Christmas season before Thanksgiving. I do not like to go into a department store and hear Christmas music playing in mid-November. I don't put my outside decorations out the first weekend in November because it's still warm then. And here's something else I don't do, and this might come as a shock to some people. I don't go Christmas shopping on Black Friday, or as I much prefer to call it, Leftover Turkey Day. Some of you may have already noticed the theme of today's worship service. That is, of course, the theme of being grateful, of having an attitude of gratitude. I am thankful this year that the first Sunday after Thanksgiving is not the first Sunday of Lent, of Advent, as it frequently is, but rather that we have this one little Sunday in between Thanksgiving and Advent to breathe, to take a moment before we go careening headlong into the Christmas season. I am thankful that the readings this morning both express gratitude and thanksgiving. I love Thanksgiving, both the act of giving thanks and the holiday of Thanksgiving. Growing up, I was frequently more excited about Thanksgiving than I was about Christmas. All 30 of my aunts, uncles, and cousins would come over to our house every Thanksgiving, and we just had a fantastic time. There was no pressure to do anything other than visit with family, catch up with each other, eat a good meal, and enjoy the day. And of course, to take the time to be truly thankful for how God had blessed us. And that spirit has stayed with me through adulthood. I must say, I love cooking Thanksgiving dinner, sharing it with friends and family, and contemplating what a truly blessed life I have. And every year, the irony is not lost on me that we can barely wait until dinner is over, this dinner dedicated to giving thanks for the bounty of our lives. We can hardly wait until it is over before we throw down our forks and race out the door to buy more stuff. So this year, I am truly thankful for this extra Sunday between Thanksgiving and Advent, that just maybe we can take a little extra moment appreciating what we have before making lists of the things that we need to go out and buy. A reporter once asked John D. Rockefeller, who at the time was the richest man in the world, and by some calculations, was the richest man who ever lived. The reporter asked him, "How much money is enough money?" And Rockefeller answered, just a little bit more. If the richest man in modern history didn't have enough money, how are we ever going to have enough money? And the answer is, we won't. The answer is, we have to stop wanting it. We have to free our hearts from want. And of course, I don't mean money. Not many people actually want money. I mean the things that we buy with the money. We need to strive to be free from this want. Now, I'm not sure that we can ever totally achieve this in our society. I was interrupted in the writing of this message by the arrival of the Hamaker Schlemmer gift catalog in the mail. And of course, I had to peruse the thing in its entirety before I could go on working. The museum quality R2-D2, the rechargeable heated massaging stadium seat, the personal towel warmer, the 80-foot range snowball launcher, the automatic return indoor basketball net, the monogram tabletop fireplace, an electric corkscrew, and not just any nose hair clippers, but the best nose hair clippers. I defy any of you to not find something in that list that you think you need. But it is a catalog full of things that nobody actually needs. And yet this company has been around for 169 years, selling things to people that they didn't even realize they wanted until they saw it in the catalog. So yeah, I'm not sure we are ever going to be completely free from want in this society. But we can try to be a little more intentional in our thinking about what we want versus what we need. There have been many studies showing that once a person's basic needs are met, more money and more things has absolutely nothing to do with happiness. And yet we still fall under that spell that somehow, and I admit I'm one of these people, somehow that rechargeable, heated, massaging stadium chair will make us very, very happy indeed. Most of you are familiar with this painting. It is iconic. When Norman Rockwell created this painting back in 1942, it was part of a set of four paintings based on Franklin Roosevelt's Four Freedoms speech of 1941. With the Great Depression still fresh in the collective memory and another world war raging, the Four Freedoms and the four paintings consisted of freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom from fear, and this one, freedom from want. In Roosevelt's words, freedom from want meant economic understandings which will secure to every nation a healthy peacetime for its inhabitants everywhere in the world. But if you'll notice, Rockwell's painting does not translate to every nation everywhere in the world. While extremely popular in the United States, this painting was not well received in war-ravaged, starving, and displaced Europe. It was seen as a depiction of overabundance and gluttony, not freedom from want. And I think it's important to remember this perception exists to this day in large parts of the world, especially those places where people are struggling with poverty, political upheaval, war, and famine. And to a large part, it is still true. We enjoy a standard of living much higher than most of the world. While a lot of us will look at this painting and see a typical holiday dinner, many people around the world do not even recognize this as being typical of their lives at all. Every year, Americans spend over $450 billion on Christmas, on gifts, food and drink, decorations, travel, everything. $450 billion. And here's how much it would cost to provide every single human being on this planet with clean water to drink for a year. $20 billion. Less than 1/20th of what we will spend on Christmas as a country. 1/20th of what we spend on Christmas each year would ensure that every man, woman, and child on Earth would have enough clean, fresh water for a year. I am no Scrooge or Grinch, depending on your age. I love Christmas, and I will have more than one bountiful, overabundant meal during this holiday season. And I love buying gifts for people to open on Christmas morning. But perhaps we can think about just one less gift, one less bottle of wine, one less wreath, and think about how much we could do with that. We have the opportunity, through the young people in our congregation and their Read to Feed program, to purchase animals through Heifer Project International that will go to families who probably don't recognize the scene in Norman Rockwell's painting. And we have the opportunity to do our Christmas shopping at the Alternative Christmas Gifts Bazaar next Saturday. And we have the opportunity every month of giving to the local food bank and helping those who don't have the abundance that we have right here in our own town. And I know that we will give generously because we always do. I am continuously astonished by the generosity of this congregation. But perhaps we could ask ourselves this year, how much kindness and generosity is enough? And maybe the answer is, just a little bit more. Both of our readings this morning bear expressions of thanksgiving, and none of that thanksgiving has anything to do with stuff. Psalm 95 invites us to come before the Lord with thanksgiving, for he is great, and he has created this whole beautiful world for us to live in. And Paul's letter contains, as so many of his letters do, his particular expression of thanksgiving for the people he is writing to. Not to the people he is writing to, but his thanks for the people he is writing to, just for their very existence. The Ephesians, Corinthians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians, in all of these letters, Paul expresses how grateful he is for their very existence. I am particularly moved by these passages in Paul, in which he expresses his love and thanks for these early churches, because they are so real to me. I know, as Paul knew, how important a community of faith is. I give thanks constantly for this family here, for this Stone Church congregation. I have been uplifted, transformed, and empowered by my relationship with this church, and I am, always have been, and always will be grateful for that. One of the ways in which this church has transformed me has been in dedication to witness and outreach. The fact that this aspect of our faith life is such an important part of our vision and mission statement speaks volumes about who we are. We are a people bearing fruit. We are not content to come to church on Sunday to learn and to worship, simply to be nourished and equipped. We are dedicated to taking this out into the world to bear fruit. As Paul points out, the church is the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. Think about what you could do without your body. Not a lot. You could not act. You could not speak. Christ speaks and acts through us, his body, in the world today. Awake, O church, and sing. What is Christ calling us to do and say? Sustainability, Guatemala, food pantry, alternative Christmas bazaar, soup kitchen, fellowship. These are just a few of the things Christ has called us to do and is still calling us to do. But what is next? This is the bearing fruit of our vision and mission, being the body of Christ and continuing the work of Jesus. I believe that living in a constant state of thanksgiving, having an attitude of gratitude, existing in a mindset of abundance rather than one of scarcity, allows us to share our gifts of time, money, and talent more freely and joyfully with others. Instead of concentrating on what we lack, let's think about how much we have, of how richly we are blessed. Let's free our hearts and our souls from want. Let's challenge ourselves to do just a little bit more. Allow God to awaken our souls to the beauty and bounty of creation. Let us live our lives abundantly, and let us share that abundance with the world. Amen.